Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Cinema Under the Stars presents Spy Day. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present Cinema Under the Stars, Spy Day, on Sunday, July 7th. The doors will open at 2 p.m. Spy Day will feature the movies Spy Kids at 3:30 p.m. and Knives Out at 6 p.m. Food trucks will be parked in the Wagner Noel parking lot from 2:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Please note, food trucks are independently operated. Wagner Noel is not responsible for their pricing or service. This is a free event with reserved seating. To reserve seats, visit tinyurl.com/57ZR3A4M. Movies in the Park presents Migration. Watch Migration Saturday, July 13th, in the great outdoors for free with Movies in the Park. The fun begins at 7 p.m. at Sherwood Park, 4819 North Everglade Avenue. The movie will start as the sun goes down. Community members are encouraged to bring their own lawn chairs and blankets. Concessions will be available. Star Spangled Grilling and Smoking Food Safety Practices. Everyone needs to know. On July 4th, the aroma of barbecue will fill the air as the festivities bring together family and friends to celebrate with quintessential American cooking pastimes, grilling and smoking. Food is the biggest staple when it comes to celebrating Independence Day, aside from the fireworks. Whether you're sizzling burgers on the grill or slow-cooking ribs in the smoker, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service is urging everyone to take food safety precautions during food preparation. 4th of July is a great time to use the grill and smoker to cook delicious meats and poultry. Undersecretary for Food Safety Dr. Emilio Esteban said in a news release, "Whichever method you use, reduce your risk for foodborne illness by using a food thermometer to measure the safe and minimum internal temperature and reduce cross-contamination by using utensils separately for raw and cooked meat and poultry. Here are grilling and smoking food safety tips to keep in mind during your celebratory cookout. Thaw meat or poultry first. Smoking uses low temperatures to cook food, and frozen food will take too long to reach a safe internal temperature before bacteria can start to multiply. Frozen foods can be grilled safely, but they will take longer and may cook unevenly. Marinate in the refrigerator. Marinating tenderizes and flavors meat and poultry before grilling and smoking. Always marinate in the refrigerator and not on the counter. If basting meat and poultry during grilling or smoking, you want to use some of the marinade as a sauce. You should put aside a portion of the marinade that has not been in contact with the raw meat or poultry. If using a marinade that has already been used on raw meat or poultry, boil first to destroy harmful bacteria. Keep raw meat and poultry separate. Use different cutting boards and utensils for raw meats and poultry, and food that is fully cooked or is ready to eat to avoid cross-contamination with bacteria. Keep the smoker and grill at a safe temperature. If you are using a smoker or grill to smoke meats, you will need two types of thermometers, one for the food to determine safe internal temperature and an oven-safe thermometer to monitor the air temperature in the smoker or grill, staying between 225 and 300 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the cooking process. Cook meat at a safe internal temperature as measured by a food thermometer. cook all raw beef, pork, lamb and veal steaks, chops and roasts to a minimum internal temperature of 145 degrees Fahrenheit before removing meat from the heat source. For safety and quality, allow meat to rest for at least 3 minutes before carving or consuming. Cook all raw ground beef, pork, lamb, and veal to an internal temperature of 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Cook all poultry to a safe minimum internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit. If you have food safety questions, call the USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline at 1-800-MP-HOTLINE, 1-888-674-6854. Email mphotline at usda.gov or chat live at www.ask.usda.gov, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. UTPB Engineering Camp sparks interest. Students from middle school through high school had a chance to test their knowledge at engineering camps offered by UTPB. The ExxonMobil and Unite AEOP Army Educational Outreach Program engineering camps cover grades 6 through 8 and 9 through 12th, respectively. Both were held at the UTPB Engineering Building. The Unite Camp had 27 kids, and the ExxonMobil edition had about 19 students. The Unite Camp offers students a total stipend of $400. Professor of Engineering George Nana said it runs through July 12th. This year is truly different. We have incorporated the industry into the experience, Nana said. ExxonMobil gave a presentation. Honeywell gave a presentation. Last week, we took them to Terracon, which is a civil engineering company, and also ConocoPhillips gave a presentation and brought their pump jack, and basically I showed them how it functions. Along with practicing engineers, the camps also feature professors as instructors, so the campers have learned about wind turbines, produced water, geology, 3D printing, and advanced manufacturing. This program is really helping in building the STEM pipeline that is required to generate the STEM workforce that will drive the economy of our region. Just by looking at his students and the way they are responding and their attention, the future looks bright, in my opinion, for STEM and for engineering as a whole, Nana said. In this way, the students can see the relevance of what they're learning. What we have tried to do is show them how mathematics and science are related to engineering. It's not just solving equations, it is actually how we apply those equations to build an engineering system and also to help society. Luckily, we do have some student workers also from engineering that are assisting professors. Two of them are in the lecture hall. One is Karen Garcia and the other one is TJ Little, Nana said. This is Garcia's second year and Little's first to help with a camp. Garcia is studying mechanical engineering and Little is studying electrical. It's interesting how it all kind of connects with each other, Little said. Garcia said she thinks it's a good thing that more young people are being encouraged to go into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. I think the professors do a really good job of teaching them what basic engineering looks like and what it is and some basic things. It's just honestly an enjoyable time seeing these kids grow to what to want to be engineers, Garcia said. She added that they built robots one day and that made her realize she is going into the right field. One of the real emphasis of this is to demonstrate the application of mathematics and science to solve engineering problems and also to benefit society, Nana said. He noted that at least one of the engineers that came out to talk to the kids studied mechanical engineering at UTPB. Nana said the students also got a tour of the labs in the engineering building. The camp simulates what they would see in the real world. For example, if you have a certain amount of wind speed and you change the shape of the blades, it's going to affect the rotation of the shaft, and it will also impact the amount of voltage being generated. Also, we had gears, so depending on the gear ratio, you see that the amount of voltage is different. We had them change the gear rotor ratio and also see how that affects the brightness of the LED that is being generated, Nana said. Evelyn Jones, who is going into 10th grade at STEM Academy, David Nana said, who is going into 9th grade at Early College High School in Midland, and Ella Baumgartner, going into 9th grade at Odessa Collegiate Academy, were all enjoying the camp. I was in it last year and I found it fun, said Jones, who is 15. She said the camp sometimes comes in handy and engineering is something she's interested in. Nana, 13, who has also been to the engineering camps before, said he really likes them and he wants to go into mechanical engineering when he gets older. I like the experiments and the hands-on learning. It's interesting, Nana said. Baumgartner is attending camp for the first time and wants to become an architectural engineer. I think it's really cool because we're learning about things that you would never think happened, she said. Lecturer lab technician Narendra Papania was leading a class of high school kids Monday. Most of the kids we get here, I think they're really good, they're smart, we just need to keep them engaged, Papana said. He said the students do well with experiments and teamwork. When they have questions, they raise their hands. On Monday, they were assembling robots. They have also made pop robots, rockets. Initially, what we do is we talk about the basics. As an engineer, it's understanding the concepts and applying it as well, Bapana said.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and this is the Odessa American from Saturday, June 29th, June 30th, and July 1st, 2024. Lamar student's death ruled natural causes. The April 8th death of a 5-year-old Lamar early education student has been ruled natural following an autopsy. The Ector County Medical Examiner's Office received results back from an autopsy performed in Lubbock. The report from Texas Panhandle Forensics stated Ezekiel Urias died of cardiomyopathy and the manner of death was ruled natural. In the reported circumstances of death, the report stated Ezekiel Urias had autism and was nonverbal. On April 8th at about 12:15 p.m., the boy's teacher got all the children in her class down for a nap after lunch. Around 12:55 p.m., the teacher tried to wake him from his nap, and he was blue and unresponsive, the report stated. 911 was called and CPR was performed, but the boy could not be revived. He died at a hospital after suffering the medical emergency. Superintendent Scott Murray has said the teacher, nurse, and assistant principal provided life-saving measures to the child in the classroom. The death was investigated by Odessa Police Department in partnership with ECISD Police. A GoFundMe page for the Urias family detailed their devastation at losing Ezekiel. The page stated, "Ezekiel was a bright light in our lives, filled with joy, laughter, and an infectious energy that touched everyone he met. His love for his Woody dolls and playful antics with his siblings brought endless smiles to our faces. Unfortunately, Ezekiel's passing was unexpected, leaving our family in a state of shock and grief." Once a Bronco, Always a Bronco, by Jerry Casey. The Odessa High Class of 1974 held their 50th year reunion June 21st and 22nd with 157 people attending. We had 107 classmates and 50 spouses. When the planning started, I wanted to bring the spirit of Odessa High to the reunion. Odessa High did not disappoint. I reached out to Mrs. Chiquisha Dawson, OHS athletic clerk. She was amazing. Mrs. Dawson supported our reunion by offering information, supplying athletic giveaways such as small footballs, water bottles, etc. Galilea Pineda, Odessa High cheer coach, supported our reunion by having the cheerleaders give our class a tour of Odessa High. We had 90 people scheduled to attend. The Odessa High School cheerleaders also brought that Bronco spirit to our dinner at the Marriott. They entered the room with the fight song playing. They performed a cheer and ended leading us in the school song. We all felt we went back in time and felt that Bronco spirit once again. Odessa High may have changed over the 50 years since we graduated, but the support we received from the school made us feel like we were still a part of the school. We had all of our 1974 cheerleaders in attendance at the reunion and took a picture with the Odessa High cheerleaders. Pets of the Week. Ivy, a 3-month-old female Chihuahua mix. Mostly white with some brown spots on her chest and brown ears, needs to be adopted into a good home. Luna, a 2-year-old female Shih Tzu mix, black and white, also needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Luna, Ivy, or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 2230 West Sycamore or call 432-257-4311. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $75. Donations are also welcome and will go towards kennels, cat house, and adoption center.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site is welcoming the community to stop by, take a tour, and enjoy a slice of cake while supplies last. In honor of George W. Bush's birthday on July 6th, tours of the historic home can be taken for regular admission from 10 a.m., with the last tour beginning at 4:15 p.m. George W. Bush was born in 1946, the only year three presidents were born in the same year. He moved to West Texas in 1948. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site was his home from 1951 to 1955. Bush met many of his lifelong friends in the neighborhood. He moved from Midland in 1959, only to return as an adult in the 1970s. He said in 2000, "In Midland, Texas, where I grew up, the town motto was, 'The sky is the limit,' and we believed it. During the long July 4th weekend, it will be great to celebrate the 78th birthday of a hometown president," said site manager Troy Gray. The Bush Family Home joined the Texas Historical Commission in 2023 and is one of the 38 sites in the state of Texas. Its normal operating hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The last tour begins at 4:15 p.m. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. One Objective grants 5 ECISD grads $5K for college. June 27, 2024, by staff report. One Objective, a nonprofit that provides youth mentoring and resources, recently granted $5,000 in scholarships to 5 Ector County ISD graduates. Students were awarded the Pathways by One Objective Scholarship and Anthony Bolton Scholarship, named after a recently passed member of the organization. The former scholarship recognizes students who demonstrated academic excellence and personal strengths of character and perseverance, while the latter honors Bolton's legacy by supporting students who have shown resilience, leadership, and dedication to their studies. Recipients were selected based on an application and essay submission. Scholarship recipients include Rihanna Coker of Odessa Collegiate Academy, who will attend Texas Southern University next year, Viviana Montesino Rios, Permian High School, the University of Texas Permian Basin, Alexia Nora Rodriguez, Permian High School, UTPB, Ashlyn Elliott, Permian High School, Sam Houston State University, and Kubra Kochak, New Tech Odessa, University of Texas, not pictured. Find this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. David Wood named head baseball coach at Odessa College, June 26, 2024, by staff report. David Wood, who most recently served as interim head coach at San Jacinto College in Houston, accepted the position as the new head baseball coach for the Odessa College OC Wranglers program. OC announced today he will succeed Curtis Lay, who led OC to over 300 wins, 7 postseason trips, and multiple national rankings before departing from the program after 10 years. Wood has proven himself as both a player and a coach. He earned second-team All-Conference awards at Texas State University before he played in the Kansas City Royals minor league system for 3 years. In his coaching years, Woods held multiple roles at the University of St. Edward's University in Austin from August 2011 to July 2021, including assistant head coach. He would later serve as a head coach at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, helping lead the team to the conference tournament in 2022 in its first year of eligibility. His career would next lead him to the role of assistant coach at San Jacinto College, where he would eventually take the role as interim head coach. In that program, Wood contributed to a 40-21 record and appearance in the NJCAA Super Regional Tournament. OC Athletic Director Wayne Baker said Wood's record speaks for itself and also pointed out the new coach's focus on academic excellence. At St. Edward's University, Wood supervised study halls for the team, helping maintain a team GPA over 3.0 every semester from fall 2012. His prior coaching roles at the University of St. Thomas and St. Edward's University underline his commitment to both academic and athletic excellence, Baker said. As a former all-conference pitcher and experienced pitching coach, he is poised to bring significant value to the OC baseball program. We are excited to welcome him and look forward to his contributions both on and off the field. Wood said he's excited to join the OC family. The baseball program has had a very good track record of success, and I look forward to continuing the winning ways, he said. I would like to thank Dr. Williams and Wayne for this opportunity. My family and I are looking forward to being a part of the Wranglers family. Wood earned his associate's degree from Temple College in Temple, Texas, and a bachelor's degree from Texas State University in San Marcos. He and his wife, Randy, share 3 children. 2 Fort Worth jail guards indicted for killing inmate. By Ken Miller, Associated Press. 2 county jail guards have been indicted on murder charges for the asphyxiation death of an inmate in Texas. The indictments, dated Tuesday, charge Joel Garcia, 48, and Rafael Moreno, Jr., 37, in the April death of 31-year-old former Marine Anthony Johnson, Jr. at the Tarrant County Jail in Fort Worth. Attorneys for Garcia or Moreno did not immediately return phone calls and text messages for comment Friday. Randy Moore, an attorney for Garcia, has previously said that Garcia's role in the fight was limited and that the use of force was necessary. The wheels of justice continue to turn in this case, Sheriff Bill Wayborn said in a statement. I said from the beginning that we hold accountable anyone responsible for Mr. Johnson's death, and we are doing that. Wayborn, who has said Moreno wrongly placed his knee on Johnson's back after Johnson was handcuffed, and that Garcia was the supervisor, initially fired the 2, but both were reinstated and placed on paid leave because the sheriff's office said the dismissals did not follow official protocol. The force used in Johnson's death is intended to stop and subdue people without killing them, yet increasingly it has become under scrutiny following the 2020 death of George Floyd. Floyd died after a Minneapolis police officer restrained him face down on the ground for 9 minutes and pinned a knee to the back of Floyd's neck, an incident that sparked outrage nationwide. The family of Johnson, who had been arrested 2 days before his death for allegedly using a knife to threaten the driver of a vehicle, has called for a federal investigation of the jail. The family has told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that Johnson was suffering from a mental health crisis. On Friday, 4 Missouri prison guards were charged with murder and a 5th with accessory to involuntary manslaughter in the December death of a black man who was pepper sprayed, had his face covered with a mask, and was left in a position that caused him to suffocate.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the weekend edition of the Midland Reporter Telegram, specifically for Saturday, June 29th, 2024. Doubletree owner denies hotel is in foreclosure. By Mela McEwen, oil editor. Shafiq Tehani, managing partner at the Doubletree by Hilton Midland Plaza, forcefully denied reports Friday that the downtown hotel was in foreclosure. It is not in foreclosure. There is no big sign in front of the property, he told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Ownership is still in control of the property. The bank servicer working with Tejani's company was required to follow legal proceedings and file a statement with the state of Texas that it had the right to foreclose on the hotel. That notice included a notice of foreclosure sale for August 6th, but Tejani explained that was part of the legal proceedings. It was a way the servicer could ensure the hotel could be foreclosed on if desired before the 28-day deadline. But it is not in foreclosure, he said. After being denied $15 million in funding by the Midland Development Corporation and City of Midland for required upgrades to the property, Tejani put the 262-room on the market. The hotel will be sold at auction on July 28th, the day people can bid on the hotel and purchase it, he said. It is not a distress sale, he stressed, but seen as a way to expedite the sale of the property. According to the online listing, the starting bid for the hotel is $5 million. Even if ownership changes, the business will still be there. It will still be in operation, Tejani said. He decried having such false information posted online. It's really unfair that people post such stuff that puts people under unnecessary stress. The team, the clients who wonder if it's still open, he said. MISD renews Astound contract, fee rises to $150,000, by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. The cost to rent Astound Broadband Stadium is rising for Midland ISD. MISD trustees this week voted to approve the terms of its new contract with the city to use the venue. The school districts will pay a use, occupancy, and operation fee of $150,000, and the rent will rise $15,000 annually until the lease term expires July 31, 2029. The fee will have reached $210,000 by that time, and the district has the option to extend its contract for up to 3 more years. According to the City of Midland, the rental fee for 2024 was $113,000, up from $96,000 a year prior. The city will retain all revenue earned from concession sales. Per the contract, MISD must pay its annual fee in full by September 1st each year. The fee schedule, including optional extensions from 2029 through 2031, is as follows. 2024, $150,000. 2025, $165,000. 2026, $180,000. 2027, $195,000. 2028, $210,000, 2029, $225,000, 2030, $240,000, 2031, $255,000. MISD can use the stadium for football and soccer games, as well as marching band events and non-extracurriculars like graduation. Chad Krausen, general counsel for MISD, said during the board's monthly meeting that 2029 was chosen for the end of the regular contract term because New Legacy and Midland High Schools are expected to be in operation by that time. Voters passed a $1.415 billion school bond in November 2023. The marquee projects are construction of a new Midland High School on the site of Ranchland Hills Golf Club, which MISD purchased in 2019, and a New Legacy High to be built on land in the area of Tradewinds Boulevard and Thomason Drive. The new high schools will have facilities dedicated to extracurriculars, such as soccer and band. Thus, the district might not need the stadium for everything in the current contract when the new campus is open in 2028. A city spokesperson told the Reporter Telegram that the next step is for the city council to finalize the deal, which may appear as soon as July. Legacy Extreme opens, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. For Terry Lane and Cinnamon Stanford, the concept behind their business Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center was built on the premise of providing entertainment alternatives to Midland families. We felt like there were a lot of things to do, but then the kids would leave happy while the parents felt like it was a chore, Lane explained during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. Or you have a nice restaurant, but the kids are bored and have nothing to do. Lane said the concept behind Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center was to bring entertainment to all members of the family. And that is exactly what she did when she and her co-owner opened for business during their soft opening last Friday. According to Lane, one of the main differences with Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center is that the business is not franchise operated. Rather, it is owned by two Midland families local to the area. As far as attractions that the entertainment venue offers, a jump park as well as several virtual simulators are available. The jump park is open to all ages, but times are limited due to certain age groups using the facility, Lane said. For example, we have a toddler's only time to give them the added protection to run freely. Another feature of the business is a team night on Saturday nights, which Lane says will give teens something to do to keep kids occupied and busy. As for the virtual simulator, Lane refers to them as pod rooms. We have four bays upstairs on the lounge side, she said. Up to 8 people can play at once, and we offer all types of sports games such as baseball, soccer, football, lacrosse, darts, skee ball, and more. Lane said an additional game includes a hunting and virtual shooting range as well. For the pricing, the cost is $65 per pod, with up to 8 people for 1 hour. The jump park is $20 for 2 hours and includes a special type of trampoline socks. We do not require guests to have the proper bottom for the trampoline socks, Lane explained. Other features of the entertainment venue include a basketball court, which advertises a dunking section, a dodgeball arena complete with soft foam balls, and a Ninja Warrior course. The Ninja Warrior course uses obstacles much like the hit television show that guests can navigate. Lane says the business also offers an air pit and an open jump area, which is different from the standard trampoline park. The air pit offers a trampoline and the guest lands into an airbag, Lane said. Our jump arena offers 16 square trampolines, which you can jump on. Since the soft opening last Friday, the entertainment center is now open to the public every day during the summer. However, Lane advised that since the venue has two sections, the hours for each are different. The jump park side is open noon to 8 p.m. on weekdays and noon to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The lounge is open 10:30 a.m. to 10 p.m., Sunday through Thursday with extended hours of operation 10 a.m. to midnight, Friday and Saturday. We also offer a special brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, Lane said. For adults, Legacy Extreme offers a full sports bar and a self-serve drink area featuring different kinds of alcohol.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.